So we are celebrating today the feast of Christ the King. This feast is the last Sunday of the church's year, and it looks forward to the last day in salvation history, the day when history comes to an end, the last day when the Lord Jesus comes again in glory, revealed unmistakably to all as universal King and Judge. This year, on the Feast of Christ the King, the gospel that we are given shows us the Lord on the cross. It is not the typical picture we have of kingly rule in our minds. And indeed, he did not look much like a king to those who were present there on Calvary. This is what the soldiers said as they jeered at him. "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." If you are the king, save yourself. That's a very telling sentence, because that sentence of the soldiers describes the way the world usually works. If you are the king, you're the one who is able to skate. You're the one who is able to save yourself. Maybe your people are going to have to suffer something, but you're insulated. Maybe some of your subordinates are going to have to be thrown under the bus, but not you. If you're the king, you are the one who can escape. You are the one who can save yourself. To use one famous example, it's often observed, there's only one fat person in North Korea. The country regularly has famines, but Kim Jong-un, the supreme ruler, is fat because there's always enough food for him. If you are the king, you can save yourself. But the Lord on the cross shows us a different kind of kingly rule. He is the king whose rule is not for his sake, but for the sake of his people, for the sake of his flock. Of course, that's at the very center of the Christian faith, that the Lord gained no advantage whatsoever in coming into this world to achieve our redemption. From all eternity, as the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Son, the Lord was as happy, as glorious, as perfect as he could be. Nothing was added to his perfection, his glory, his happiness by coming into this world. He came into this world only for us, for the human race that was in need of salvation. And in so doing, the Lord gave us a new model of authority that is to pervade every level of the Christian life. For a Christian, authority is not exercised for one's own sake, but for the sake of those entrusted to your care. The most obvious example of this is family life. Parents have a natural authority over their children. Why? So that they can have convenient domestic slaves? So they have someone to boss around, so that they can feel better about themselves? No. They're given authority over their children for the sake of the children, so that they are able to form, protect, guide, and help the children entrusted to them into a happy and virtuous adulthood. This is the model for all authority exercised among Christians, that it is for, and not for the sake of the one who has the authority, but for the sake of those for whom that person cares. There is something very natural to royal authority, though, that we see in Jesus on the cross. And to talk about that, we'll just step back for a moment to remind ourselves that the Lord Jesus came to save us, to fulfill finally, perfectly, and entirely the three classic roles, ministries, that are found in the Old Testament. The Lord came as our eternal priest, prophet, and king. As priest, he offered himself as the perfect sacrifice on the cross. As prophet, he was the Word made flesh, everything that the Father wanted to tell us. And as king, he came to be the king who lays down his life for his people, whose kingship is revealed on the last day. Our faith tells us that all of the baptized receive a share in the life of Christ, and so a share in that threefold mission of Christ as priest, prophet, and king. The sacrifices that you are called on to make in your life, in your vocation, for the sake of others, that is a participation in the priestly office of Christ, because the priest is the one who offers sacrifice. Your sacrifices show you to participate in the priestly office of the Lord. You're called to give witness to the truth of the faith in your life, in your daily life. Thereby, you share in the prophetic mission of the Lord Jesus, because you are giving witness to the truth that he came to reveal. You are preaching that truth to the world. And third, all the baptized share in the kingly mission of the Lord. Here's the question. How do you do that? How do you share in the kingly identity of the Lord Jesus? The Catechism of the Catholic Church is excellent on this point. It tells us Christ communicated to his disciples the gift of royal freedom. The king is the one who is free. The king is the one who acts as he chooses. This is what Christian freedom means. The Catechism here quotes St. Ambrose. That one is rightly called a king who makes his own body an obedient subject, and by governing himself with suitable rigor, refuses to let his passions breed rebellion in his soul, for he exercises a kind of royal power over himself. This is the first and most important, most noble authority that the Christian exercises over yourself, so that you are not a slave of your appetites. You are not a slave of your faults. You're not a slave of your fears. You are not a slave of your prejudices, but you have the royal freedom of being able to do the right thing to act according to right reason, to act according to the will of God. Christians also share in the kingly office of Christ in whatever way we exercise authority. So in the family, in the example that I already used, as citizens in a society where we're called to help shape the life of the world toward the goodness that the Creator intends, to make our communities in this world places of justice and peace as far as possible. Those are important parts of the mission of the Christian life, but that's not going to work unless we get right the first part, the most fundamental part, or at least are on our way to that rule, that dignity of having authority over ourselves. We see in the Lord himself that kind of royal authority, because the Gospels tell us that Jesus had a natural aversion to suffering and pain and death. In his agony in the garden, the night he was arrested, he prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this chalice pass me by, yet not as I will, but as you will." So what does that mean? The Lord had a natural aversion, a natural fear to what lay ahead in his suffering and death. But he had the royal authority not to be a slave of that fear, but to do the will of the Father in spite of the fear, that his willingness to go to the cross was acting in accord with what was necessary and good for the redemption of the world. He was not the slave of acting according to his fear instead. So today, we honor the Lord Jesus, the King of the universe, for that royal authority he showed in going to the cross, for the perfect model of authority that he gave us in doing what he did, not for himself, but for those that he had come to redeem. And this is why the Lord will rightly be revealed as the universal King and Judge, because he acted in a way that was good for every human being. He showed himself worthy of ruling all because he acted for the good of all in laying down his life on the cross. His revelation as universal King and Judge is his just reward for what he did for the redemption of the world. We thank the Lord for what he has done for us and for each of us personally. We ask the Lord that we might share in his kingly identity, first of all, by welcoming his life in ourselves and letting that confirm us in the authority we are meant to have over our lesser inclinations. And we ask the Lord that on the last day we might see the fullness of his kingdom come, that we might have our place in that kingdom.